The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. What's up, Duck fans? What a guest we have today, Clayton Stoner, former National Hockey Leaguer. And we're going to get into a little bit of what Clayton's up to today, now that he is not playing anymore. And we loved you here in Anaheim, Stonesy. Like, we really did. And I enjoyed you as a teammate. And so, anyway, I appreciate you taking the time, hopping on to Eat 'Em Up and just being with us today. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for having me, Emmer. It's been a while since I got to see your current style, and it hasn't left me surprised or not intrigued. So it looks good, buddy. You're looking good. Great to be on. Thank you. Excited to speak with you and speak with the Ducks Nation there.
I appreciate it. And look, the fans want to know. I want to know, what's your fondest off ice memory? And I'm going to be a little disappointed if it doesn't include me. I'll be honest. I'm going to be a little disappointed. But your fondest off ice memory during your time here in Anaheim?
Well, I did pre-scout the question, so I've got I was trying to think of something good, and sitting in the back of the plane with you after on the road trips, and I forget what the DJ booth was called, but you had the iPad out making the beats, and you had your favorite Beats by M or something like that.
Oh, Eats Beats.
Okay, there we go. I knew it was something like that. Legendary. So Eats Beats was happening in the back of the plane, and you were doing some mixing, and I was kind of new to that, more of a country boy than a DJ guy myself, but learned some stuff, learned what not to do in my free time. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining anyways.
Unbelievable. Hey, I take that as a compliment, and I made some bangers, played it for the boys, playoffs or not. I mean, I got the boys going, and I thought that's part of the reason why it led to our on ice success. Stonesy, I truly feel that way. So your best memory from an on ice point of view. I mean, is there a time, playoffs? Is there a game that comes to mind that you're just, this was a pretty cool moment?
Another one that, you're a big part of on this one too as well. But, you know, that year in, I think it was 14-15, we had a pretty strong playoff team. I believe that was the first year the Jets were back in the playoffs as well. So that was fun. We're playing them in the first round, and I think it was probably 15-16. Don't quote me on that. But anyways, sold
14-15.
Yeah, 14-15. I thought so. My first year there. I think it was your first full year there. And yeah, it was pretty unreal playing in Winnipeg with their first whiteout, I guess, there in quite some time. And then my boy Emmer, of course, making a highlight reel goal that I'm sure you could bring up here somehow.
Well, you
probably didn't forget about that one, eh?
I don't know. Did you have like some special talk with me prior to the game? I think you did. That sounds right.
Pretty sure I was pumping you up. Yeah. You didn't get one. Like, yeah, keeping that confidence high.
Shout out to you. Getting my
mind. That was I am right though. That dangle session, that was the playoffs, right?
You taught me that.
Yeah,
those after practice stick handling drills you put me through. That was all you.
Absolutely, buddy. No, that was quite a goal that you can hang on to for a while, and that was a fun series because we dominated, pretty standard domination, physically and on the score sheet. So it was pretty fun. I remember we won four games. We won it in Winnipeg there, and they still standing O from that crowd. Pretty classy. It was loud in there.
No, that was a fun barn there. As you mentioned, the whiteout, and the place was so noisy. And it's when that song, the Coco song, came on. Remember that when they played the "I'm in Love with the Coco"? Remember they played that in the place went nuts, and then we ended up sweeping them. So easy money and a testament to you. You brought a lot of physicality and just they didn't want to go one-on-one with the Stone Daddy. They just did not want your gap and your stick. No. So good times. Hey, tell us what you got going on now. The Cowichan Capitals, you purchased a junior team that's now in the BCHL. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun. So me and not just a sole owner, but a few partners on the team, just passionate about hockey and being involved still and trying to grow a bit of a brand here, a bit of a something that we can all be proud of. Cowichan's kind of a mid-sized city that kind of a bunch of towns kind of blend into one to create like the Cowichan Valley. So a lot of surrounding areas will come and enjoy the games, but it's a great league. You know, I usually try and describe it as it's, you know, not quite the USHL, but, you know, it's not far off as well. So lots of D1 commits, a lot of teams, very good success rate on D1 commits throughout the league. And that's something that is pretty fun to be involved in. It's my first year behind the bench. So, myself, and two other head coach, Cam Keith, who won the league last year with the Surrey Eagles, and another guy that played in the NHL as well, Mike Stutzel. So we have a hockey guys in the room that really, you know, try and give the players everything we can for development to get them to that next level. We all know how to get there. So we're a passionate group that basically has the Cowichan Capitals and the BCHL. And then we do have teams underneath us that are kind of create pathways for these kids, a league called the Junior Prospects Hockey League, which hopefully kids can come through those leagues and then feed our system right into our BCHL club, which we try to do as much as possible. And yeah, so lots going on the hockey front, but just currently enjoying the season and excited to keep building on it.
No, that's so awesome that you're giving back. And how much are you on the ice teaching these young men here on the ice?
Yeah, so we practice every day. I like to take a personal day on Tuesday. I live about an hour away in Victoria. Okay. Yeah, you know, take a day off. Don't want to stress myself out, right? But
of course.
No, in all honesty, yeah, I live in Victoria, which is about an hour away. So Tuesdays, I'm more with the kids and the family. But other than that, on the ice, usually twice a day because I go on with our 18U team. So, you know, we have a program kind of similar to like the Junior Ducks or Kings in that same 18U, different league, mind you, but similar players that we try to develop for the Capitals. So yeah, work with them as well as the Capitals on a daily basis.
Unbelievable. Well, we've had some teaching segments, teaching episodes here on Eat 'Em Up that just dives into junior hockey, youth hockey, maybe some of the mentalities that these young players coming up striving to play in the National Hockey League should have. Just one piece of advice for players going into junior evaluation, you know, your camp. What are just a couple things right from the forefront that you look at, say when it comes to evaluation, to maybe help some of the younger listeners tuning in right now?
Well, I think the first thing is everybody thinks that they're, you know, they have to have the most points or score the most goals or the most assists. You know, we look for hockey IQ, work ethic, everything from body language. So how you present yourself, you know, first off, you have to have the work ethic, number one, and then you have to be able to, you know, skate, keep up and think at that pace. And then, you know, at that point, I would say we dive into, you know, wherever you played. Well, you know, who your coaches are, and then maybe even get some references from them. So another big thing is like your past and your reputation. You can't just turn that on and off, right? You can't just all of a sudden be a good guy at a training camp. That's your reputation that you build and takes years. So if you're being a, for lack of, you know, if you're not being a great teammate on your team right now, people will find out about that because there's a lot of good hockey players out there and it's so competitive that when it comes down to one negative thing about you from a coach, well, we can easily find another player that's similar to you. I mean, hockey, in my opinion, has never been bigger. There's never been more good players. There's never been more talent. So now it's like, well, what separates the talented players? Because they're kind of a dime a dozen right now. So there's not, you know, and right now there's less of the hardworking, more of not so worried about the score sheet, but more worried about the team winning. So, and obviously that's more my style anyway, be a good teammate and generally put teammates ahead of yourself and good things usually happen.
And champions are just leaders through and through, right? Any team that goes the furthest and takes home the hardware, just made full of individuals that are high character guys, and body language was something I picked up on that great answer, Stonesy, that just body language, like just clean cut, like you are, Stonesy, right now. Are you running a Lou Lamoriello type ship over there that you make the guys shave the beard?
No. We try and help the kids as much as we can, you know, suggest that. Obviously, we have our rules, but, you know, we ask them for how they're feeling, you know, things they're picking up on. We're in the coach's room now, just had a player come in and they're comfortable to sit down and bring things to our attention, which I think is important. We want them as comfortable as possible. Try to be as approachable as possible and try and be as clear as possible that, you know, we demand and hope and expect hard work and being good people. And then, you know, a lot of those other things can work out from there. That's kind of the foundation though.
Great stuff. It sounds like you got so many great things going on with your program. Last thing, who on this young Duck squad do you like right now? Anytime you're catching a Ducks game, who do you like on this roster?
Well, it's been a busy time. And so I haven't been watching as much hockey as I'd like. But I seen this clip the other day of Leo Carlson being an absolute dog out there. And I was like, holy, like this guy hasn't been in the league long and he looked like a man amongst boys. So like just from watching that one clip, I was like, this kid looked like he was had another gear than everybody else in that overtime goal against Utah. So got to go with him. Seems like he's a big boy out there that isn't scared. So I like that.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, he's lights out and it's scary how good he is now. Just can only imagine 2-3 years from now, he's going to be that much better. So
yeah, great pickup for the Ducks. I know that one was, I mean, there's lots of good players in those drafts, but I think that's a shout out for the type of player they got from good scouting on that one.
Clayton Stoner, ladies and gentlemen, Stonesy, thanks for joining Eat 'Em Up. And hey, let's catch up soon.
Next time I'll have the camera going.
This Microsoft One.
I'm missing a tooth right now, so I didn't want to scare any guests away.
I guess so. Well, hey, upgrade from Microsoft One you got up there. Hopefully next time you'll have a better processing system. But hey, appreciate you. I know you're a very busy guy. And hey, keep up the great work up there. It sounds like you're running a fantastic program.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you all. Have a good day. See you, Hammer.
See ya.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
Ah, Stonesy. He was a great teammate and... oh, it's just great to hear him. And Stonesy, thanks again for hopping on Eat 'Em Up. And just a lot of good things going right now for him. So we're wishing him all the best. Let's take a look into this Ducks team. 11 games into the season, 4-5-2, 7th in the Pacific. 2-game losing streak, unfortunately, a tough loss, of course, in Pittsburgh in the roadie, and tough loss last night versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Connor Bedard, Bedzie, 3 assists. The first one he set up, it was just a great entry. Kicked it out to Isaac Phillip, and just a far side bomb that, yeah, it's like Betsy, he was putting on a show. Leo had some great moments. He really did, as he always does. But, you know, it was just a night in which Taylor Hall played well. And the guys that the Chicago Blackhawks rely upon game in and game out just showed up. And Ducks had a late push, but just got to turn the page. And the first 10 minutes of that game was unbelievable. They had a template. They had a game plan. They were executing well. They were playing quick. Passes were tape to tape and quick. And their offensive zone looked probably the best it looked all season long. And then you're playing so well, the shot volume, you're putting up a ton of shots and enough shots worthy of, you know, probably should have been up 2-0, even within that first 10, Chicago scores. So you play so well, then the opposing team scores, and it just seems like the team deflated a little bit. Let's take a look at just some player stats. Of course, the dose wall. He's playing so well. 0.937 save percentage and goals against 2.22. He continues to just play lights out. Everyone knows it, and you can count on him each and every game. Troy Terry, he got on the score sheet again last night. He's just, once again, and I said it on the post-game show after last night's tough loss there, that even when he's not getting on the score sheet and either goals, assists, he's drawing penalties. And it's because he's moving his feet, and the other team, they just can't help but hold him down, hook him, slash him. He's been drawing a lot of penalties, and it's a testament to how he's been playing. And so for me, Troy Terry, yes, the production is up 9 points in 11 games so far. And 17:32 of ice time. I mean, you know, elite guys on other teams getting up into the 18, 19 minutes per night range. I think he can get up to if you increase his ice time by two or so minutes, you're just going to get more drawing penalties and more opportunities on the power play and just more production out of him. He's just playing lights out, and he's answering the call. So good job, Troy, and keep it going. Leo, once again, Betsy, Leo, that was the theme, as it always is going to be between the two. First pick with Betsy, and of course, Leo going second there in the same draft. You're always going to talk about that, and they're always going to be compared. And look, Betsy had a night, and Leo, once again, had some great moments, in particular around the net and on the power play, too. He was great on the power play. Mason McTavish, he gets on the scoreboard. And I just think the floodgates are going to open for MacT. I really do. I think this is the start. Got the first one out of the way. Now he's going to be rolling. Ryan Strome gets on the score sheet again last game. He's been consistent. I get it. Everyone's just got to elevate their game. We're going through this list of all the skaters. And if Stromer can take it to a whole nother level, unbelievable. Cutter, I mean, he's still looking for his first in the show. But once again, the floodgates are going to open. I can go down the list. Everyone, if they can take their game to the next level, if Frankie can get back on that goal scoring pace from last season, and I think Z said it best. And speaking of Z, I think he's had his best games of the season here, the last 2-3. They haven't even really begun to scratch the surface. And, you know, 11 games in, you got to love hearing that. And the big improvement in my mind this season is the discipline. Way less trips to the penalty box. They're moving their feet more. I think overall, just that's speaking to the quality of play, more puck possession time. And guys just got to bear down. That's all. There's just around high danger scoring areas, they just got to bear down. And that's going to be the theme moving forward. Everyone elevating their game. When you have an opportunity to put the puck in the back of net, you just got to, because you know what other teams are, including the Chicago Blackhawks. And we saw that last night. Let's take a look at Well, last night, we'll dissect last night here real quick. Faceoffs, 50.9% for the Ducks. And look, they won in the faceoff column. Great. 27 wins for the Ducks and 26 for the Blackhawks. Chi-Town, they go 2 for 2 on the peepers. Ducks 1 for 5. Look at the hits. 15 for the Ducks and to the Blackhawks, 5. I tell you what, they were getting in every single shot lane all game long. They blocked so many shots. The Ducks still 39 shots on goal. The Hawks, if 10 more of those got through and 15, I mean, they were blocking a ton of shots. The Ducks outshot the Hawks. They get to the 39 mark and so many more of those potentially could have got through, and they just need to find a way. The Ducks just need to find a way. Troy Terry does a great job of lowering that shoulder, getting that pressures, whoever's the defense, whoever the pressure player, that triangle to open up, and he shoots the other way. He's one of the guys in particular on this Ducks team that really has an art, and it's an art form of being able to find that shooting lane and get the puck through. And it was a testament to the Hawks there. They had a game plan, get in front of as many shots as possible, and they made it tough on these Ducks last night. Let's take a look at just a little preview for the Vancouver Canucks. And it's a team in which they got some ball players. They just really have some guys that JT Miller. I mean, he is a guy that he's getting it done. And whether it was Pettersson or Miller early on, a few years back, that was kind of the conversation. JT Miller has by far and away separated himself, and he's their top guy. He's their top centerman. And he's great on faceoffs. I love how he pulls that puck and gets his body weight over that puck and just slings them. And his snappers are some of the best in the show. And look, they won their last game, 5-2-3, third in the Pacific. And it's a team that once again, they get it done in a lot of different areas. They keep shots on goals allowed, 27.3. I mean, they don't allow many shots. Their penalty kill, 10th, 83.3. They're not top five in any which category, just down the basic team stats, but look, they're in the top half of the league in pretty much all of them. And we all know that they just got some superstars. We got Quinn on the back end. He's a guy in which he's so dynamic, and he is a guy that just leads the charge. He's got a C on his chest for a reason, and he's so shifty back there. So they just got that elite firepower on the back end. Once again, just hit or miss with Demko. It's been tough with the injuries in the goaltending department. And that's one of the main reasons that's been really making them lag a little bit, or maybe not pushing them further, because we all know that they could be a first place divisional team. I mean, they have that pedigree. We saw it last year, and it's going to be a tough test. It's going to be a tough test. Let's get into a few more things going across the National Hockey League. Alex Ovechkin, Ovi, the grade eight, he scores goal number 860. That is a lot of goals. That's a lot of goals, and it takes such consistency. When you look at that number 860, it's one of those things where 860 points is a lot of points. And so when, in terms of goals, that is just such a high number. And who would have thunk that he would have just take his goal scoring prowess to a whole nother level at this age? And he's a guy that is a student of the game. We see all those videos, him in the backyard with his son shooting pucks. And we've seen those years back. And he's still doing it. And I asked Devo, you know, what are his tendencies? What are his habits, practice in, practice out? And he says he stays after each practice, half hour, just taking one tease. And it takes that many repetitions to get so good at any skill set, but one-timers for Ovi. He just popped another one tee goal just the other night, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what he's doing right now. Like I said, at this age, and there's no slowing down. There is absolutely no slowing down, and their whole team. We'll get into just some sleepers and some teams that are doing maybe even better than anticipated here in a second. But Ovi, right now, he's 39 years old, just scored goal number 860, and he's got 14 points in 11 games right now, 7 goals in 11 games. Who knows? Once he even breaks Gretzky's goal record there, how many more he's got left in the bag? Maybe he just blows it out of the water and he keeps doing it 5-6 more years. Who knows? Because he's not slowing down, and it's incredible. So you got to tip your cap to Ovi. He's done so many great things for the game, and he continues to do it. Jets are a wagon. Yes, the Winnipeg Jets, 11-1-0 this season, 19-1 in their last 20 regular season games. Can we talk about that? It's just in Stonesy and I were just discussing our playoff success back in the day versus the Winnipeg Jets. Look, that barn gets loud, and when their team is a wagon, the place is packed, and it's just a great hockey environment. In Winnipeg, they love their hockey. They just really do. And look, they're just getting it done. They're firing on all cylinders. And look, this is a team, if you look at a guy like Perfetti, you just weren't sure. He comes in, he contract year, he does probably worse than anticipated, of course, signs a bridge deal, and look at him now. I mean, he has been a stud. He continues to just do big things, and 4 goals, 7 assists, 11 points, almost a point a game, 11 points in 12 games for Cole Perfetti. And that's one of the reasons why they're playing so well. They got the depth scoring. And look at Vilardi, 10 points in 12 games played. That trade still looking good, just based off of when healthy, what Velarde's been able to do. Look at a guy, Nemistikov. I mean, bouncing around a couple teams before he gets to Winnipeg, and he's found a home there, and he's been playing unbelievable, really taking his game to a whole nother level. Look, on the back end, Pionk and Morrissey, when you got D with 13 and 15 points respectively, I mean, that's huge. Scheifele, he's put up the numbers necessary, and then Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers, they're so good. They're the top 2 point getters, 19 and 17 points respectively. They're just constantly moving their feet. And, you know, they always play really the way Troy Terry's been playing this last, well, really every game this season. Always moving his feet. Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers, they're continuously moving their feet. And that's why they have so much success moving. On what's going on in Beantown, playing a little bit better than, I don't know, just the start of the season. I guess. But what is going on? Let's look at just their top guys. Pasternak, we're used to seeing him at the Kyle Connor numbers. And he's got 11 points in 13 games. We know Marchand's got more to give, 10 points in 13 games. I mean, those guys, we're continuously seeing them and have seen them at over 100 points in a year. And when they get back producing at that rate, you know, Lindholm maybe hasn't, talking about Elias, not Hampus, but Elias, you know, he's maybe under-delivered and maybe has not really lived up to, at least in there. And he had a tough go in Vancouver too. He had a tough go in Vancouver. Look, 8 points in 13 games isn't terrible, but you know, we just listed off some of the production by the Winnipeg Jets. And when you're a top tier team, as we're used to seeing Boston, we know that they have better hockey left in them. And once again, playing better as of late. It remains to be seen how it plays out for them here moving forward. Let's take a look at just some surprises, maybe some teams that we didn't think were doing so well. This is league-wide. We'll go division by division here. And we're going to start with the Atlantic here. Of course, we knew Florida was going to be at the top. We just talked about Boston. So that's a surprise in a sense. We didn't think that they would be at this point. Now they're 500, but we're used to seeing them up there with, of course, the Floridas, the Tampas, who are currently top two. Ottawa for me, right? Over 500. And, you know, Coach Green up there. I mean, he's been leading that team in the right direction. He really has been. It seems like Tkachuk there leading the way, doing what he's always doing, getting in the nitty gritty and really just really leading that team well. So surprise, Boston is struggle city a little bit here out of the gate, and Ottawa turning some heads, and obviously remains to be seen where that ship sails. But hey, they're doing good so far. How about in the Metro? We knew New York was going to be a wagon. We experienced that there in Madison Square Garden. It was a close game. Ducks played good second and third periods, but they just continue, whether it's power play, face-offs, all aspects. Unbelievable. Picked New Jersey to do better than last season when AD and Steve made their appearance here on Eat 'em Up. Played a lot more games early on than a lot of the other teams, and they're still ahead, and a lot of the teams got games in hand, but look, still decent. The Ducks, when we were there, experienced that. They're an elite level team and remains to be seen. Philly, what's going on? 4-7-1. You have Michkov, you have these additions here, and they just need to get on the same page. And Torts gotta trust that things are going to turn around there, and who knows? Maybe he turns it around so drastically, they make another push like we saw last season before playoffs. Central, talked about Winnipeg. Maybe even a surprise that they're continuing on this momentum. I mentioned it in their last 20 games, just a lights out record. Obviously, we didn't see Colorado 5-7-0. In 12 games played. We just did not see it. Injuries have plagued them. We know that when they get healthy, just saw a report that Nick Chuskin is back in skating practice with the team. So that's a big bonus there for them. Nashville, also a huge question mark. Stamkos, Marchessault, big additions there, and haven't been putting it together, if you will. Last but not least, we got the Pacific here. Golden Knights. Yeah, everyone knew that they were going to be good. Kings hanging on. They've lost some strange games, but they've also beat some really good teams. And so it remains to be seen if that locker room can put together that consistency and make it past first round, first two rounds. course, we hope not here in Anaheim. We want our boys to start cooking here, make a push, and I don't know, remains to be seen. Look forward to it all. Edmonton starting to play better. So Pacific, somewhat wide open still. I mean, every team is really close. No one's pulling away, and everyone is within reaching distance. Calgary said they were going to team most likely to tank when it comes to points, and I think they're showing their true colors as of late. It hot start there, one of the best records to start the season in the Pacific, and they've been dropping games as of late, and it has not been easy. Just looking over some of the top scores, and how about in the goals category with you just got guys like Laferriere with the Kings that entering the season, you're like, no way am I going to see Laferriere within the top 20 in goal score to start the season. And William Nylander's a guy that, look, he brought up the concern on ice time. He just had a gorgeous one-timer last game there. And look, he seems to be getting more comfortable. Coaching chemistry there between him and Berube seems to be heading the right direction. Hischier, we didn't see Nico Hischier being at the top of the league. We really didn't see that coming, and Caulfield's brought his game to a whole nother level. We knew Sam Reinhart was going to continue to cook after a big-time goal-scoring year last year. Points, how about Stromer there in Washington? I mean, Dylan Strom, what a guy off the ice. On the ice, he's crushing it, and he's just, it seems like all the guys are loving him. He's a leader through and through, and obviously, we got some sibling action here with the Anaheim Ducks and Ryan, and we always want family units to do well. So we're pulling for him out on the East Coast as well. Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. News and notes from around the league. Got some surprises. Both teams we, once again, didn't think we were going to see doing this well, and somewhat tanking early on. Thanks for tuning in to Eat 'Em Up. Stonesy, thanks for joining. And what an epi. Had fun. We'll catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.